Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
We've been going through and looking at the Apostle Paul's life. Romans 4:18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And also in Acts 24:15, and have hope toward God, which they allow themselves, they allowed themselves to. Now the hope fill you with all joy and gladness, believing that you abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, one thing that we have to have in life, you're going to have to keep hope. You have to have hope to proceed. Oh, hope is so important. And there are a lot of things that come in and try to hinder our hope, kind of try to sidetrack our hope, take it out of us. Right? So if hope, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So if you lose hope, or something bad's happened to you and you lose hope, then your whole inside's going to feel sick. You feel paralyzed. You feel sidetracked, right? Now, I have hope in God if everything's bad. So my hope is in the Lord, and my hope is in Him helping me in the earth, helping us and all us and whomever else, and also getting me to heaven. My hope is in all that. No, I'm not going to lose hope. I'm going to keep hope. I have hope all the time, right? So this is a story about the Apostle Paul. You look in the book of Acts, how he was arrested. Well, first of all, he was arrested on the road to Damascus by God, by Jesus. Lord, who art thou? I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. He was out arresting Christians, arresting. Now God comes and arrests him. And the rest of his life, he's under arrest by God. And also the civil, he had many arrests by the civil and went through this and that. Looked like he's going to lose his life. Looked like it's all over. And God would just bring him out. God, bring him out again. Bring him out again. Bring him out again. Bring him out again. You see? So the Apostle Paul was arrested and he had to go to Festus. Festus sends him to Felix. Felix sends him to Agrippa. I mean, we're talking up and down, they had him, going to kill him, people wanted to kill him. But anyway, God stopped a lot of it and he kept on going. The Apostle Paul's life was in grave danger. At every turn, the devil had set his sights upon him. As soon as the Apostle Paul was delivered from one fiery trial, he immediately was thrown into the next. So in Acts 25, I'll pull you up here right quick. Festus did not transfer the Apostle Paul to Jerusalem, but he was open to the accusers coming to the trial at Caesarea, bringing their claim. Festus answered that the Apostle Paul should be kept at Caesarea, that he himself would depart shortly afterwards. Let them therefore, said he, which are among you, are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. It was over and over. Here he is. And when he had tarried among them, Acts 25, more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded the Apostle Paul to be brought to him. Bring him in here. Right? Here he is. Trial after trial after trial after trial after trial. The accusing Jews from Jerusalem also came to the trial. It was their top priority to bring accusations against the Apostle Paul and Christianity. Many of them extended a lot of effort just to chase the Apostle Paul down from city to city, from trial to trial, harassing accusers of being used by the devil, hurling lying and false accusations against the innocent Apostle Paul, which they could not prove. I'm just reviewing here right quickly, which they could not prove, okay? The Apostle Paul speaks for himself and maintains his own innocence. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended anything at all? He said, how have I offended any of you? How have I offended you, Jewish people? You here in the temple, how have I done that? Untrustworthy, crooked Festus. These are governors and different people in leadership. Tried to get the Apostle Paul to go down to Jerusalem for trial, knowing that the Apostle Paul would be surrounded by Jewish accusers, sending from one problem into another one. Instead of Festus making a fair ruling and pronouncing the Apostle Paul innocent, he keeps the Apostle Paul locked up on trial more and more tribulations coming the Apostle Paul's way. The Apostle Paul's innocent life means nothing to Festus. Nothing. But Festus willing to do, these are governors and people in charge, but Festus willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul, said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me now that I am hearing about you? The Apostle Paul knows his rights and he continues to appeal to be seen by Caesar. Go to Rome. He knows that the Lord said he must testify about him in Rome. Now he knows he has that hope that God said, I'm going to Rome, right? He also knows that the Roman citizens' rights would probably give him more protection than the Jewish court systems are doing and would do to him. The Apostle Paul bravely and boldly stands on the Lord and stands on truth. He knows he is innocent, holds his ground, insists on seeing Caesar. Hope, 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 hope. For if I be an offender, I appeal to Caesar. He kept on saying that over and over and over and over and over. And so he keeps going in the final word from Festus. Festus acknowledged that the Apostle Paul's, he acknowledged his Roman rights. He acknowledged his Roman rights. And says he will stand trial in Rome before Caesar. Now King Agrippa. So you've got Festus and Felix and now King Agrippa, a Roman appointee who had much knowledge of Roman laws and procedures, was called to hear the Apostle Paul's case. The Apostle Paul had been left in bonds by Felix for 2 years, just sitting there. So he's been there in all those bonds all this time. That's in Acts, in the book of Acts, of course, keeps on. And then as we go forward here and see this, King Agrippa decides he wants to hear what the Apostle Paul is preaching. So a huge assembly came with a great pomp and is set for the following day. King Agrippa said to Festus, I would hear the man myself. The more he said, thou wilt hear him. All of the chief people, dignitaries, military leaders came into the spectacle. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with a great pomp, she got there, was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and the principal men of the city. And Festus' commandment, the Apostle Paul was brought. There he was, one to the other, one to the other, one to the other, back and forth. This great, widespread, and accurate exposure, this was the New Jerusalem of Christianity they're about to hear. So Acts 25:24, and Festus said, King Agrippa, of all men which are here present with us, see this man about whom all this multitude and the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that this man should not live any longer. They wanted to kill him. Over and over and over, wanted to take his life. The ruling emperor appointed governmental authorities, knowing that the Apostle Paul has not committed a crime, but preaches a new doctrine that enrages many of the Jews, this doctrine about Jesus. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, Acts 25:25, and that he himself had appealed unto Augustus, I have determined to send him. Since Festus does not have anything to sentence the Apostle Paul with, he presents the Apostle Paul to King Agrippa. Then Agrippa said in 26:1, said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. So this was the Apostle Paul's chance to preach the gospel. Now he can bring this thing. They ask about this new religion. So in front of a large and very influential crowd, the Apostle Paul starts out in his defense, glad to be able to explain himself and say what the Lord wanted him to say. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day. I'm glad I can answer. Before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. I'm so glad that I have answered. I'm so glad that I am permitted. And I, especially because I know thee, King Agrippa, to be expert of customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. I know you are an expert at this. Let me lay it forth to you, right? So, it keeps on going. The Apostle Paul proclaims that his upbringing and reputation is well known about the Jews. They know my upbringing. Yes, sir. Yes. Before they come in and here I am, come to Jesus now. My manner of life from youth, which I was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, knew all the Jews. They knew I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was a Jew of the Jews. And of all the Jews knew that the Apostle Paul had a spotless reputation as a Pharisee. Spotless. which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straightest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. I crossed every T, dotted every I. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, you see? The Apostle Paul now has the opportunity to bring forth and explain the gospel. At the same time, he is showing that he said, I'm not guilty of a crime. He kept on. And now I stand and I'm judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. The Apostle Paul begins to introduce how this new seeming gospel is actually what the Jewish people have been waiting for. This is the promise of the Messiah. Even though Jewish people do not understand this new seeming gospel, unto whom promise our 12 tribes, Acts 26:7, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews. I'm accused of the Jews that all the Jews are hoping for, right? That they're hoping for. I certainly am. The Apostle Paul points out that everyone should believe that God can raise the dead. And why would it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? He said, you Jewish people, you believe in the last resurrection. You know, you believe in that. Yes, well, why can't you believe that Jesus, that God can raise the dead even before then? The Apostle Paul says that at first he came strongly against the Christians. He said, I did. He said, I was an enemy of the Christians. I verily thought myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I used to fight him. I wanted to kill and arrest every Christian I saw. He said, I back then I didn't believe him either, what he was telling me. He said, I've been where you are. I've been there. The Apostle Paul recounts how he formerly persecuted the Christians for their faith, which thing I did in Jerusalem. Of many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority of the chief priests when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I did. He laid down his coat when they were stoning Stephen. Remember that? And he was for it. You know, go kill him, keep on. He was there holding their coats. The Apostle Paul describes how he would harass and track down the Christians even from place to place. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad about them, I persecuted them from city to city. Even in strange cities, I followed them around. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, commanded them to blaspheme on and on and on, he says. As he said, what you're trying to do now, I've already done it. He said, you know I have. You know my record. So this went on and on and on and on and on. So the Apostle Paul continues rehearsing when he went to Damascus to arrest and bind the Christians with the authority of the chief priests, and how that he was arrested by God. He said, yeah, you've arrested me, but I want you to know I had a bigger arrest than you had. Right? I had a big arrest. He said, when I had letters, whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. It was whereupon I went and I traversed. I was heading on a journey that's going to be causing trouble when I get there, headed to with the intent to Damascus with authority, with total authority, with our authority, jurisdiction, right, and liberty, and commission from them, permission with full power. They've transferred this over to me. They've given me liberty and license to speak in their stead, yes, meaning superimposition. What they superimposed on me, I can come and superimpose on you, yes, right? That's what he said. I've come under their authority from the chief priest. And the chief priest was a high priest or a chief priest or chief high priest or a chief of priests. It's a lot of things. Yes, suddenly a bright light. Think about this. Suddenly. I'm going to go kill them and kill all these people I can find. I'm in Judaism. Well, he didn't leave Judaism. He just got some things added to it. He knew it like the back of his hand. He wasn't saying that you're wrong. He's saying there's something much that comes after that you got to have. So suddenly, as he was doing that, a bright light from heaven suddenly stops the Apostle Paul and those that are journeying with him. At midday, Acts 26:13, at midday, I saw in the way a light from heaven above more than the brightness of the sun. You ever try to look up in the sun? You believe it's so bright you can't look at it? This light was brighter than the sun, he said. Brighter than the sun. How many believe that will blind you? Well, at midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven. At midday, right? It was in midday. Yes, midday, I saw a light from heaven. O King, I saw it in the way. I saw a light from heaven, from the abode of God, where God is, above, way over, superior that, more than the brightness and the brilliance of the sun. How many believe that's a bright light? Than the sun. He said, this light's going to take you right here. Surrounding, shining all around him. Illuminate all around him, best with a shine all around through all over, on and on a beam around me and them which journeyed. How many believe they probably scared them almost out of their wits? My God, and they all fell to the ground, knocked them down to the ground. And the Apostle Paul, here he goes. Now, you talk about an arrest. Here Jesus has knocked him down to the ground. How many believe he's in a helpless situation? He that had all kind of authority now where's his authority now? Well, he's going to have to get some, right? Get some more. So he journeyed with me. God immediately struck down the Apostle Paul and those journeying with him to the earth and down to the ground. The Apostle Paul heard a voice. When he heard a voice speaking to him in the Hebrew tongue, saying, Saul, Saul, that's his Hebrew name. Why persecutest thou me? It is hard to kick thee to kick against the bricks. When we were falling to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me saying in the Hebrew term, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee. When he was fell down to the earth, I heard. It was noise. I heard a voice. I heard a phony. I heard a loud voice speaking, laying out to me, unto me, and saying, in the Hebrew tongue, the Hebrew or Jewish Aramaic language, in that tongue, in that dialect discourse, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And of course, in the Greek, when the Apostle Paul wrote this, he wrote it in the Greek there. And so it was the name Shaul, which would be a Greek word for Saul. Why persecutest thou me? Why are you persecuting thou me? It's hard for thee. Hard. Tough, hard. It's severe. It's fierce. For thee to kick against the pricks. To kick against the pricks. The pricks were like poison things. It's like an ox plowing in front of his master. They had them. An ox kicking back only for the back of his legs to make contact with the sharp metal points and objects connected to the front of that plow, causing the back of his legs to be pricked and cut. So an ox would rebel. He wouldn't keep doing that. When they go back, it cut their heel. They were kicking against the pricks. So the Apostle Paul said, you're like an ox kicking against the pricks. If you keep going, I'm going to cut you up. Right? Kicking against the pricks, okay? Like an ox with his master. So the Apostle Paul asked, and he said, who art thou, Lord? I mean, who in the world are you? And he called him Lord. So he knew anybody could do that, they must be a Lord. Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou? I mean, who are you who has done this? He didn't expect it, right? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus. I am Jesus who thou persecuted. Who art thou, Lord Supremacy? And he said in the first person, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Then Jesus, and so there he is. And you believe he's trembling? My Lord. So this voice he heard, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the brick. I'm Jesus. I am Jesus. So then Jesus gives him a command. And the Apostle Paul, he's not going to be questioning a command now. Oh, no, 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 no. It took just a few seconds for him to be made a believer. He came from all that. Now he believes this. And okay, Jesus, whom he said, this is who they tell me. I'm going to do what you say, right? Yes, I'm changing sides here. He said, I am Jesus. And Jesus commands the Apostle Paul, says, stand upon your feet, get up. He said, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. I to make thee a minister and a witness. And he gave the Apostle Paul his God-given commission. Listen to that. Now, how many believe in a matter of seconds, he has totally, his life has changed completely. everything he's done, everything he was now. He had all that history. He had all that knowledge. And he has all that. He won't lose all that knowledge and all that foundation of God. But can you imagine in 1 second time, everything has changed. Now, Jesus didn't come and pet him. He said, I have chosen you. How many believe this is going to be hope through all this? This is the greatest hope he's received yet from trial to trial to trial, right? So here we go. Jesus said, but rise and stand upon thy feet. Rise, stand up upon thy feet, for I have a very intensive statement he's making there. I have appeared unto thee. I have actually appeared and showed myself unto thee this day.
Yes, sir.
You have seen me. For the point, for this purpose, to make thee, to handle thee for oneself in advance. I've already called you this from the foundation of the world, but now, and I handled you back in Genesis 1 and 2 back then, but now here I am to handle you in front and to choose thee through the idea of the hollowness of the grasping of the hand. He said, now I've got you by my hand. I've called you to be a minister. Hupe erites, is that under hupo, like under. To row as an under oarsman, to be subordinate, like an assistant to God in the Genesis case, to hear in all kind of ways. And he said, a witness that can't be disputed, both of the things which thou hast seen, that you have knowledge of and you perceive all that behind you, all that kind of stuff, but both of that that you have seen and you know perfectly, and of the things which I will appear unto thee. Yeah, you know all that, but now I'm appearing unto thee. Now I'm going to give you something. You, it's going to be the big deal, right?
Yes, sir.
And I will appear unto you, show myself unto thee. Jesus said, I am sending thee to the Gentiles.
All right.
Well, he was a Jewish man.
I
am sending thee to the Gentiles. I will deliver you from harm of people in the Gentiles. I'm sending you to the Gentiles. Man, that's a shock.
Yes, sir.
To the Gentiles. We don't have anything to do with those people. He said, I'm sending you to the Gentiles, and I will deliver you from harm of people, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send, delivering you, actively tearing you away from them, plucking you out, choosing you for myself from any kind of attack that had come upon you, and to the Gentile, this is like the heathens and not the non-Jewish people, of whom I will send thee. Man, so here he is. Now, those despicable people, now Jesus said, that's who you're going to.
Yes, sir.
I'm sending you to them.
Right.
My Lord, he never would have thought that.
Amen.
You believe that's a mighty change? How is he going to convince those Gentiles about all this? Well, that's his big task. You see, it's a major task. So, I'm sending them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness, from the power of Satan unto God. To open up their eyes and to turn them, convert them from darkness of error, to Isis, a continual entering, to light and from the power, the authority of the devil. I've given you authority, but the authority of the devil is over them. I'm sending you to deliver them out of that.
Yes, sir.
Of Satan unto God. I'm sending you to deliver them out of the hand of the devil and bring them to me. That's a mighty task, I'm here to tell you.
Yes, sir.
He has explained everything to them. They don't even know Judaism. He has a big task ahead of him. I believe he does. So they may be received for the forgiveness, the remission of their sins. The forgiveness of their sins. And inheritance, like a portion secured, inheritance, but that was also patrimony to the fatherhood of God. You'll be a father among them which are sanctified, consecrated, dedicated, pure saints of God. You see what I'm talking about? By faith, you are all that by faith. I'm sending you there. The Apostle Paul now has learned, and he's taken on the greatest hope of all. He's had authority from the chief priests. He's had authority from this, this, that, and the other, from government and all that. Now he has authority from God himself, who appears unto him, sent him to Gentiles. Now he has hope that, my God, God must have a future for me. My time's not up. Oh, yeah, God has a future. God has a future for all of us. God has a future. I have a future I know I shall fulfill. I have a future in that city on the hill. I have a future. It's not an empty wish. For I was born to the kingdom for such a time like this. I have a future I know I shall fulfill. I have a future I know I shall fulfill. I have a future for that city on the hill. I have a future. It's not an empty wish, for I know I was born for such a time as this. Hallelujah. So the Apostle Paul now had learned that he was specially called by God with a mighty special commission that he certainly didn't know about, now instilling in him a new strong hope and confidence that he was specially favored by God and had a brand new life and ministry ahead of him. And I thank Christ our Lord who hath enabled me, for he has counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He said, my God, I've been put into the ministry of God. By God, not just a ministry of some government, but with God. I know whom I have believed and persuaded. He's able to keep all that against him that I have committed unto him, thank God. So now, whatever this year gives to themselves, we have a future. You have a future you know you shall fulfill. You have a future in that city on the hill. You have a future. It is not an empty wish. For I know, and you know, you were born for such a time as this. Isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
So the Apostle Paul now had learned that he was specially called by God with a mighty special commission that he certainly didn't know about, now instilling in him a new strong hope and confidence that he was specially favored by God and had a brand new life and ministry ahead of him. So, up and down, this, that, and the other, this, that, and the other, this shows up. Come on in here, God, and make us new. Just make it all new every time. Thank you, Lord. The Apostle Paul, what an encouragement he had. He had a new life, a new life. God gave him a new life. How many glad God makes us new? God makes us new, 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 makes us new. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateas Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of His truth and a deeper level of relationship with Himself.